sing it through one time, then I'll tell you how I want you to help me, all right? I'm so glad Jesus set me free. Well, I'm so glad Jesus set me free. Well, I'm so glad Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah, Jesus set me free. And here's what I want you to do. I'm going to say, I'm so glad. You're going to say, Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah, Jesus set me free. All right, let's try it. I'm so glad
Jesus set me free.
Well, I'm so glad
Jesus set me free.
Well, I'm so glad singing glory, hallelujah, Jesus set me free. Well, Satan had me bound, but
Jesus set me free.
Well, Satan had me bound, but
Jesus set me free.
Well, Satan had me bound, but
Jesus set me free.
Singing glory, hallelujah, Jesus set me free. Well, I'm on my way to heaven since
Jesus set me free.
Well, I'm on my way to heaven since
Jesus set me free.
Well, I'm on my way to heaven since
Jesus set me free.
Singing glory, hallelujah, Jesus set me free. Thank you. Well, you did good. Amen. How many knew that before we sang it just then? All right, a few of you did. Good. All right. Thank you for that. And appreciate you helping me. I love that. I wake up in the middle of the night singing that because I am so glad Jesus set me free. Amen. Now, if you've never had that experience, and when I say experience, I'm not talking about you joining the church. That's a wonderful thing. I'm not talking about being baptized. That's another wonderful thing, should be done. But none of those things set you free from the power of sin. It's when you realize you're a sinner on your way to hell, and on purpose you ask Christ to become your Lord and Savior. At that moment, He moves in and sets you free. Amen. And life becomes worth living. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
All right, I want you to look with me at Joshua chapter 3, if you will, please, for our scripture reading this morning. Joshua chapter 3. And once you find your place, going to ask those who can and will to stand with us. You've been sitting a while. Joshua chapter 3. And I'm going to draw your attention to verse 14, but as I say always, later you look at the context, look at the scriptures before and following, and get the full story. But I want to draw your attention to verse 14. And it came to pass when the people removed from the tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bare the ark were coming to Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bare the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose upon a heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zaratan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. And God's people said,
amen.
Thank you. May be seated, if you will, please. The will of God is probably the, if not the, most important thing in this world for you to know. And God spells His will out from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. He tells us what His will is for marriage, what His will is for raising children, what His will is for finances. In other words, every choice of life that we have to make, it's covered in the Scripture somewhere to tell you what God's will is. Now, it's obvious that the majority of the world does not know the will of God. They live such haphazard lives that have so empty, and they go down this dead-end street and have to turn around and come back. They live with a lot of regrets. They live with a lot of if-onlys.
If only I had done this. If only I had chosen that pathway. And life becomes such a burden, such a hassle for them. And in some cases, people sign out. They commit suicide and say, I can't take it. But God wants us to know His will. And if you study the Word of God, you'll find His will, again, spelled out in clear terms. For instance, if you start in the book of Genesis and go all the way through, you'll find the will of God is for every man, woman, and boy and girl to be born again. That is the will of God. The Bible tells us that God's not willing that any perish. So nobody will be able to stand before God one day and say, I would have been saved if, because God wants you to be saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So God wants us, first of all, to be born into His family. And the sad thing is there are thousands and thousands of people sitting on our church pews who know the religious jargon. They know the terms. They know the motions. They can go through it, but they've never had an experience of grace. Because if the Holy Ghost moves in, there's a change. If the Holy Ghost of God moves in, you become a new creature in Christ. Old things pass away and all things become new. And so a lot of folk who say that they're Christians are, in fact, in their language, very different from what a Christian is. In their actions, very different from what a Christian should be. And so I'm just convinced that so many, maybe a large percentage of people who are church members have never had the experience of grace. But it's God's will for every person to be born again. Now, once you're born again, then it is His will for you to live a life of victory. It is not His will for you to be discouraged and encouraged and up and down and in and out and cold and hot and on and off. That does not bring honor to the Lord at all. The Lord wants us to be more than conquerors through Him that loved us. He wants you to be a victorious Christian. He doesn't want you to, as my preacher says, be hanging in there like a hair in a biscuit. You know, he wants you to walk in victory and be robust in your Christian faith. And so it's the will of God for you to be saved. It's the will of God for you to walk in victory. And then it's the will of God for you to have joy, joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. The joy of the Lord is our strength. If you lose your joy, then you lose the ability to pray. You don't have the strength to come to church. You don't have the strength to read your Bible if you lose your joy. So it's God's will for you to be saved. It's God's will for you to walk in victory. It's God's will for you to be joyful as a Christian. It is God's will for you to have peace that passes all understanding. I'm afraid that a lot of people who don't have peace, there's always this turmoil, always this war that's going on in their soul. It's because they neglect the Word of God. Because the Bible says, great peace have they that love thy law. Great peace. And so God wants us to have peace that passes all understanding. Be saved, be victorious, have joy, have peace in your life. He wants you to have answers to prayer on a regular basis. Not just once in a while, but He wants you to on a regular basis to be able to ask and receive, to seek and to find, to knock and to be open. And so God's will is for you to be saved. God's will is for you to be victorious. God's will is for you to be joyful. God's will is for you to be at peace. God's will is for you to get your prayers answered. Actually, if I were to take all those things and put them in a bundle, salvation, victory, and so on, and put them in a bundle, it would be called abundant life. It's God's will for us to have abundant life. You see, Jesus said, I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. Now, there is no if attached to it. I do not find where God said that I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly if their health is good, because that would disqualify a lot of people. He did not say, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly if you've got money in the bank. A lot of people would be disqualified there. He didn't say, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly if your marriage is working out, because sometimes the marriage is not working out. There's no if attached to it. He did not say, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly and attach an if to it. He said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly, period. Mm-hmm. You hear what I said? Period.
Amen. Yeah.
In spite of. In spite of your health being poor, in spite of the fact that you don't have a whole lot of money, in spite of the fact that children are not doing what they should do, and you've raised them right, you've prayed over them, you've poured into their lives the truths of God's Word, but they've chosen to go down a wrong trip. And in spite of that, you can still have abundant life. Matter of fact, Fanny Crosby is one of my favorite hymn writers. She wrote hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hymns. I guess one of my favorite, and of course you know the story, she was blinded at age 2. They put the wrong medicine on her eyes and she went blind, and was blind from 2 years of age until she was in her 90s. But one of the songs she wrote was Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Now listen to this little blind lady. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Sound to me like she knew abundant life. So I'm saying God's will is for you to be saved and know it. God's will is for you to be victorious. God's will is for you to have joy and peace and answers to prayer and to live the abundant life so that He may be glorified. So that people will say, there's no way in the world. I know that person. There's no way in the world they can be that kind of person without some divine help. Without some new supernatural power. That's God's will. So the wise person wakes up every morning and says, Lord, Thy will be done.
Amen.
I'm not going to choose who I'm going to marry. I want You to make that choice for me. I'm not going to choose what school I'm going to. I want You to make that choice for me. I'm not going to choose my pathway. I'm not going to go down this road and check it out because it may be a dead end. It may be full of heartache and sorrow. And so I'm not going to choose. Lord, I want You to lead me in paths of righteousness for Your name's sake. And so the wise person does that. Now, if you don't, listen, I'm telling you, you'll go down this road and have to turn around. You'll go down this road and have a lot of scars. You'll go down this road and have a lot of regrets. You'll live a life that is so frustrating. But the will of God is for us to have abundant life. Well, our story is about the children of Israel. They have been following the Lord. He has led them. And they've kept their eye upon Him. They have not gone down this trail on their own. They've not been a Jonah. They've not made bad choices. They're in His will. And here He is. He's leading them along. And then all of a sudden they come to this Jordan River. And the Bible says that the banks are overflowing. And so history tells us that normally the Jordan River is about 100 feet wide. Well, during this time of the season, the banks overflowing, it became a mile wide. So we're talking about a large problem. And so here they are. They come to this, in the will of God, they come to this Jordan River. They know the will of God is for them to continue forward. They know the will of God is across the river. They know the will of God is Jericho. That's for them to conquer. Beyond that, Ai. Beyond that, Canaan land. They know that. But here is this barrier, here is this obstacle, here is this thing that's in their way, and there's no way for them to continue in the will of God because humanly speaking, it is impossible. I mean, here it is. They're in the will of God. See, so many times we blame the devil when the devil has nothing to do with it. The devil didn't put the Jordan River there. God put the Jordan River there. He led them here. They're here as a result of His leadership. They've been in the will of God, but they realize that the will of God is to continue on, but they just don't know how they're going to go forward because here's this thing, this barrier, this obstacle that's keeping them from going forward. And so in my almost 57 years of walking with the Lord, I've watched people react in several different ways. They have followed the Lord. They've been real close to Him, and yet they come to a part in life to where there's this barrier, this thing, this obstacle, and they don't know the and so they will begin to tell you, I wish that I could have joy. I wish I could have victory. I know others have it. I know it's in the Bible that you can. I wish I could, but I've got this barrier. I've got this obstacle. I just don't know how that I can have victory. I don't know how that I can have joy because I've got this thing. And I wish I could. I wish I could. And they spend their life wishing for something that God says He wants us to have. But they'll stand here at the bank, looking at this obstacle, wishing their life away, and 10 years from now, you'll talk to them and they say, well, honestly, I wish I could. I hear others that have it, but I just can't seem to get it. Or they'll slip into this blame game. And they'll say, well, I'm telling you, I wish I could have victory. I wish I could have joy. I wish I... But you don't know who I'm married to. If you was married to the knucklehead I'm married to, you wouldn't have any joy either. You wouldn't have any peace either. Listen, if you had the boss that I've got, and you had to go face him every Monday morning, you wouldn't have any joy or victory either. And they'll blame. Or if you had the issues that I have with my health, or if your children treated you the way that, and they will blame somebody for the fact, although they know it's God's will for them to go forward, they'll blame somebody else or something else. I can tell by looking at you, you don't even know what I'm talking about, do you? But they'll blame something or someone else. And then they'll get into this whiny thing. Well, I'm telling you, I'd give anything in the world to have joy. But I just can't as long as I'm married to this person. I'd give anything in the world to have peace, and they whine, and if you do it in that real whiny voice, you'll have people gather around you and slip the arm around your shoulder and say, bless your heart, honey, we understand. And they'll pet you and make you feel better. And if you do it really in a real whiny voice, they may even give you a button that says head whiner. And you gather these friends who will talk to you over the phone and sympathize with you and pet you and say they understand but that doesn't get you any closer to what God wants you to have. You're still stuck right there. But the ones who bother me are the ones who've been living with God for a long time. And they've been faithful. They have been faithful to be at Sunday school when it's time. They've been faithful Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. They're not one to lay out and miss for any reason. They're very faithful in reading their Bible. They've been very, very faithful for years in tithing. I mean, nobody has ever had to tell them, you give 10% of your income to the Lord and the Lord will bless you. He'll open the windows of heaven and pour out. They know that. They've been doing that for years. First thing, wrote that tithe check and given it, and they've experienced God's grace and outpouring of His goodness And so they've been in His will for years and years, and they've walked and they've stayed. They've never gone down the wrong trails and made the wrong decisions and live. They've stayed in His will. And then all of a sudden, after years of living right, here they are with an obstacle. That's God's will over there. And preacher, what bothers me, I've watched them come after years and years of serving the Lord faithfully. I've watched them come to this obstacle, this hard place. And by the way, you will have several obstacles in your life. See, when this one is dealt with, Jericho's next.
Yeah.
So you don't just have one.
That's right.
In your lifetime. There's going to be several along the way. And here they've just walked in His will for all these years, and they come to this obstacle, and they know the will of God is for them to get across and to conquer Jericho. They know that. But I've watched these people who, after years of serving the Lord, look up at God and say, "Really? Is this the way you treat your children? Is this the way you reward faithfulness? I've tried to live right, tried to do right. I've not been a rebel, and this is what I get for my efforts? Really? Then I'm done. I quit." And you go visit with them, as I've done so many times in my ministry. And I'd say, "You're not at church anymore. You're not singing in the choir anymore." "Well, I just don't feel like God's been fair to me." "Mm-hmm. You're not driving the bus anymore. You're not teaching that Sunday school anymore. Why did you quit?" "I just don't think God has treated me right. I've tried to do what's right. I've tried to stay in His will. And yet I've come to this hard place in my life." And sometimes the hard place can be the loss of a child or the loss of a mate or whatever. I mean, I'm not discounting that, but I'm just saying to blame God and tell Him that He hasn't been fair to you is a horrible thing to do. A horrible thing to do. So here they are, they're standing. They know to go forward is His will. They know that. But there's no boats. There's no bridges. That Jordan River is raging. How in this world am I going to get to the will of God? I know it's His will, but I'm just... And they asked me, preacher, how am I going to do that? How in this world am I going to get across this hard place in my life? But I've watched some in that crowd, the Joshua and the Calebs. And this is not in the Scriptures, this is in my mind, but I can see them saying, "Boys, settle down, listen, got something to tell you. Listen, we've been here before."
Yeah.
This is not the first time we faced this kind of thing.
Yep.
And if God could do it back yonder,
that's right.
He can do it again.
Yeah,
that's good.
He didn't use up all of His power back then. Listen, he didn't deplete His energy back then. If he did it back then, He can do it again.
That's right.
And so somebody by faith says, "Boys, let's go forward." That's the will of God. But you've got this obstacle. You got to. I know, but it's God's will. And so I see them step off of that bank. But this time they don't step into dry land. The water's still raging, and they're trying to keep their balance. But they just by faith they keep moving forward. And all of a sudden, my God again works a miracle.
Yeah.
And opens up that Jordan River. And they cross over on dry ground.
That's right.
See, when you come to this hard place in life, and you will, and you've stayed in the will of God, you haven't been a rebel, you haven't lived your own life by your own choices, you've tried to stay close to Him. If that's been your lot in life, if you've been sure to study the Scriptures and been obedient to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and you come to this difficult place in life, then I think, and I'm not being flippant, but I think that you can look up toward heaven and smile and say, Lord, I think you got a problem on your hands. It's not my problem. I didn't create it. He brought me here.
Yeah.
Do you understand that? He brought me here. Did He bring me here to discourage me? Absolutely not. Did He bring me here to see me defeated and crying the blues? No, listen, He brought me here so that I could see how inadequate I am. I don't have the ability to solve the problem, but I know it's His will for me to go across. So I have to look up and say, Lord, I'm excited to see how You're going to handle this. And you look for a miracle, because He's the only miracle worker I know. So you can do what these others have done. You can wish or go into blaming. I mean, you can always find somebody to blame the reason you're not victorious and joyful and all the other.
Yeah.
Plenty of things can happen where you can point. But I'm telling you, it should be that you understand if that's God's will there, then nobody and nothing can keep me from doing what God wants me to do. And by faith, if He'll help me, I'm going to step off into that, although it's still raging, and watch Him do what He can do. And when I get on the other side, I tell you, I think I'm going to put a big old smile on my face and say, what an awesome God.
Yeah.
And now I've got something to tell my children.
That's right. Yeah.
And my grandchildren and my neighbors, anybody else who has sit still.
Yeah.
God is an awesome God. So my question is, are you staying in the will of God? That's the first thing. Are you staying in the will of God? Or are you guilty of making your choices and they're bad choices and you keep having to turn around and come back up this dead end road and live with a lot of regrets and cry the blues and say, I'm so sorry I've done this and done that. And listen, that's not the will of God for your life. Let him lead you in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. I'm telling you, this is the day the Lord hath made.
Yeah.
We'll rejoice and be glad in it. As your days are, so shall your strength be. And He wants to bring you up His pathway. And yes, He'll bring you. He will bring you to an obstacle in life. He will bring you to a hard place in life to remind you of how weak and inadequate you are, to remind you of how strong and powerful He is. And if you'll by faith go ahead and keep moving forward, then you'll have some stories to tell.
That's right.
Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Would you stand with us for prayer, please? Heads about for just a moment. I wonder how many in the room, by lifting your hand and say, Preacher, that message was for me this morning. God used that to help me. Can I see your hand, please, all over the building? God bless you. God bless you. Wonderful, wonderful. Without a lot of fanfare, I'm going to ask you, go ahead this morning. Let's get the meeting started off right. Walk this aisle, bow in this altar. Thank Him, first of all, for saving you and giving you a salvation that you know is real. And then thank Him for the fact that He wants you to have joy and peace and victory. And then thank Him this morning that when he does bring you to a hard place in life, that you know it's not to hurt you, but it's to show you his power. Would you be willing to just come to this altar and thank him for those things? They're coming. Would you come as he begins to play? God bless you. Wonderful.